A new report out today comes to the conclusion that echoes what one Wisconsin congressman had previously proposed, eliminating the United States Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, also known as the ATF.
The authors of the new report and Congressman Jim Sensenbrenner say the Bureau has lost the ability to do its job thanks to some high-profile operation failures and internal dysfunction, among other factors. So how did the ATF get to this point, and if eliminated, what would that mean for gun laws and regulations in America?
Here with us now to talk about the troubled history of the ATF as well as its proposed elimination is John Diedrich. He's a reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel who's been covering the Bureau's missteps in Milwaukee. John, thanks for joining us today.
Happy to join you.
So we're hearing this new call, this report saying get rid of the ATF. So what would happen if this report were accepted and taken as is?
Well, the recommendations of the report, this is from the Center for American Progress, a left think tank. When I say left, they come, the individuals in the think tank come out of groups such as Mayors Against Illegal Guns, Brady Center, other organizations like that that have been talking about gun control for a while, as well as the Obama administration. It's interesting because, again, we're seeing these calls from different sides of the political spectrum. But this report, 182-page report released today, details how the functions of the ATF should be, in their view, folded into the FBI. The argument of the report is essentially that the United States already has the premier law enforcement agency in the world, in the FBI. The FBI already does background checks, and that information then is passed on to the ATF, and it already does a lot of criminal investigation very well. It has strong oversight and leadership on control of operations, and therefore the nation's gun laws should be enforced through the FBI and not a standalone agency, as it has for decades through the ATF.
Now, you mentioned this comes from the Center for American Progress, left of center, and Republican Congressman from Wisconsin, Jim Sensenbrenner, has made a similar case to get rid of the ATF. Are they coming at this for mostly the same reasons or from completely different reasons?
Well, I think there are some similarities. You referenced some of the operational failures of the ATF recently. Most spectacularly has been the Operation Fast and Furious. That was where agents observed as a couple thousand high-power weapons passed in the hands of criminals and ended up at crime scenes in Mexico, many of those weapons, including the scene where a U.S. border agent was killed. That operation and the aftermath of that has led to a lot of fallout for the agency, a lot of investigation and so forth. Here in Milwaukee, we had storefront operations where agents lost control of guns, employed a mentally disabled individual where the operation was burglarized, and we found problems with storefronts across the country. So the agency has had these problems, and both the center and Representative Sensenbrenner has raised those operational problems as really saying, you know, this shows an agency that doesn't have good control of its operations and good accountability for those who are responsible for implementing those. So they agree on that. They also talk about the lack of sort of losing their way on the inside, if you will. And there's a GAO report that came out earlier this year that also raised some similar questions and some similar points about the internal structure of the ATF. What's interesting in this report, in contrast with the Representative Sensenbrenner's proposal, and it is a proposal that he made in a bill last year and he's brought back this year as well, is the Center for American Progress really wants a stronger enforcement of the nation's gun laws. And their argument is essentially you've got a damaged vehicle, a hobbled, and hapless at times and toothless at times agency that's not able to enforce the nation's gun laws, and gun violence is a growing issue that they think could be better handled by the FBI. Representative Sensenbrenner, who, by the way, has very strong endorsement of the NRA, not on this particular issue, but in general, strong supporter in the gun rights circle, essentially says this is a way we can save money, and but we don't need to change any of the gun laws. And there are some similar differences among the similarities. There are many, but there are differences in how what restrictions there would be, say on use of trace data and so forth, and how publicly those would become available. That's where the similarities depart, and the two proposals separate a little bit. So they come at it, to answer your question, they come at it from the same direction and common ground at some points, and others they differ.
Talking to John Diedrich with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about a call in a report today to get rid of the ATF, roll its duties, most of them, into the FBI. And John, you just mentioned the National Rifle Association. Gun rights groups in the past have been opposed to getting rid of the ATF. How much sway have they had on this issue, and why are they opposed to getting rid of it?
Well, I think there's various points of view that they've raised. And this isn't, I just back up a little bit in terms of the history. This is not the first time that it's been proposed that ATF be melded into other agencies. The calls began in the Carter administration, came up in the Reagan administration, came up in the Clinton administration, and it's come up from various groups as well. So this is not brand new, though. The way this report lays it out, there is new material, and it goes deeper than we've seen in the past. When the Ronald Reagan ran for office, one of the promises that he made was to abolish the ATF, and that came fairly close to happening. And in the sort of 11th hour, the NRA weighed in and said that was not a good idea. And the reasons why have never been publicly stated. The authors of this report, their argument is that essentially the NRA and other groups benefit from a weakened agency such as the ATF, and they don't want to take on an agency like the FBI, which has much better sort of reputation on the Hill, a cachet that the ATF has never had, and a director that has a 10-year term. And while the ATF has had great difficulty getting even a director confirmed for one term, and he left after 18 months, the FBI has a 10-year term. So the sense was this is a bear that the NRA doesn't want to have to deal with. But talking to the NRA for this story, their point is that that moving the ATF doesn't make sense, that they see the real problem in how the Bureau and its policies are implemented, and that they paint the president as an anti-Second Amendment president that is advancing his agenda through the ATF. And noted, and they have in the past, that there was an ammunition ban that was proposed, ultimately rescinded. It was sort of a PR mess, kind of got ahead of themselves before they had any real support lined up. They point to that as an example of the White House using the ATF to advance their agenda. So their argument is it doesn't matter where the ATF is, the real change has to happen in the White House. I would point out that, interestingly, when Sensenbrenner, Representative Sensenbrenner's proposal came out, both gun rights groups and gun control groups came out against it. So you'd think these would be groups that wouldn't agree on much. But this was something that they agreed on, is that they, for somewhat different reasons, there was a gun rights group that also said we need to give the new director, that was B. Todd Jones, a chance to implement his changes. And that was the refrain from the gun control groups as well, to say that the new director needs some time. But it was interesting sort of politically that the notion of getting rid of the ATF was actually was something that these groups that don't agree on much did agree on.
Let's look at the mission of the ATF in reading this report and your reporting on it. I guess it started as a taxing agency collecting revenue from alcohol and other products. Now it's a regulatory agency. It's a law enforcement agency. It's a mixed mission in some ways. Is that part of the problem?
Well, that's the argument of the report, and this has been the argument of, there was another agency known as the Commission on the Advancement of Federal Law Enforcement that's made the same point. So this goes back. This is a Civil War era taxing entity that really morphed into a sort of law enforcement agency while retaining its taxing and regulatory responsibilities. It picked up the law enforcement side of it when the Gun Control Act came in, but they've always had this taxing piece. And so that's why at one time they were actually in the Treasury Department. They came over to the Justice Department after the attacks of 9/11. But they've always had this sort of disparate nature. So you have on one side of it the regulatory responsibilities, and that primarily the part that's covered mostly in this report is their responsibility to go out and inspect gun stores, federal firearms licensees, and they've taken a lot of heat for their inability to get to many dealers, and when they do, their failure to act when they have some problematic gun dealers. And so, for instance, here in Milwaukee, we had Badger Guns and became Badger Outdoors and then back to Badger Guns. This was an operation that had problems over the years, violations and so forth, and they were able to basically defeat ATF's authority by changing ownership and so forth. Part of that was because of the way the laws have been structured and the limitations that Congress put on it. And it's also ATF unwilling to really take on the tough fight of these gun dealers. So that piece has continued. And then on the other side is this law enforcement piece. And really, in that way, they're the primary agency for enforcing the gun laws of the country in terms of, like, gangs and things of that nature. The problem with that side, as this report notes and Representative Sensenbrenner notes, is that clearly overlaps with several other agencies. So, for instance, the storefront that was done here in Milwaukee was an effort to get illegal guns off the street, but it has much to do with drug sales and making drug sales. Well, that's usually would be more of a DEA, Drug Enforcement Administration function, or a local police function. So, that's where this sort of sense of looking for a mission and finding, finding a piece of pie for themselves leaves them, sometimes taking chances on operations that are ill-advised and have not turned out well for them in the end.
We're talking with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter John Diedrich about a new report out today from the Center for American Progress calling for the elimination of the United States Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, Explosives. We want to hear your thoughts on the idea.
Do you think the ATF's ability to do its job has been compromised? Should it be eliminated or possibly reformed? And if it is eliminated, what do you think that would mean for gun regulations in America?
We're talking about the United States Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, the ATF. New report from a left-of-center group suggests eliminating the Bureau. It echoes a call from Wisconsin Republican Congressman Jim Sensenbrenner, who proposed doing just that last year and again this year. You can join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Is it time to get rid of the ATF, roll it, most of its functions, into the FBI, or does it serve a valuable function, deserves resources? What questions do you have about how all this works? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Oh, we'll go to our callers now. We've got Brent on the line in Duluth, Minnesota. Brent, hi.
Yeah, hi, guys. I'm kind of in the gun business, you might say. I make custom muzzle-loading guns. In fact, I'm working on one right now. If they do decide to eliminate the ATF, or BATFE as it's called, they better come up with something that's more effective. Most gun people would tell you that the ATF is like jackbooted thugs and they're out to destroy America and all this, and that's just a bunch of crap. Really, we need better gun laws, stronger gun laws, and somebody that could enforce them. Yeah, enforce the laws we have, but also plug the existing loopholes.
Gotcha, Brent. Thanks a lot for the call. We'll throw that to John Diedrich, reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel now. John, a gun person, a particular sort of guns there, saying this agency is ineffective as it stands.
Yeah, it's you know, this is a lot of the comments that you'll hear is from folks who've been critical of the ATF and saying, you know, we don't need additional laws. We need to enforce the laws that we have. You know, it's complicated because once you start getting into how the laws are implemented, there's also a series of limits on what the ATF can do. They're known as budget riders, and these have limited some would say the effectiveness, just the ability for ATF to do certain things. For instance, the sharing of trace data when gun crimes and so forth are when guns are traced, that information cannot be widely shared. So there's limits on what they do. There is also a limit to the enforcement of things like gun show operations, guns sold over the internet, and so forth. And the report raises this to say, here are the marketplaces where illegal guns are being trafficked at times, and because again, not because of the lack of laws, but because the ATF is so damaged and has come under fire so many times from Congress that the leadership there is just really unwilling to do it, do those kind of operations. But it really goes deeper than that, even, because you have an agency, and they point this out in there, and that you have essentially the ATF is they're broken up into about two dozen field divisions, 25 across the country, and they really act as separate fiefdoms, where the special agent in charge in those areas has tremendous power, and Washington doesn't have as much control as you might think over those places and what happens in there. And so, while the discussion about the laws and so forth, you know, really important, what the report raises, what Representative Sensenbrenner raises, is that whether you have new laws or the existing laws, you have an organization where morale is very low, where control from Washington is, you know, limited, it appears to be at best by what we've seen, and you have some real deep personnel problems. So whatever the laws are, the argument from this report is that this agency is really hard-pressed to get their act together.
Brent, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. As we talk about proposals to get rid of the ATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, we've got John Diedrich with us from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Back to our callers now. We've got Hank on the line in Cuba City. Hank, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what do you think, Hank?
I'm thinking, you know, I don't know if the agency needs to be completely eliminated because there's so many new, you know, levels of brew pub and now the micro distilleries and things like that coming out. The agency still has a place, I believe, whether it's under that portion should be under the FDA for tobacco and alcohol, and then the other half should be with the FBI. It just seems like a no-brainer.
Hank, thanks for that call, and that's interesting, John. We've focused, and a lot of the discussion is focused on the firearm part of things. If we get rid of the ATF, what happens to the alcohol and tobacco portion of their job?
Well, the taxing portion of that is held elsewhere, but the question is, should they be, because they've also been involved in some enforcements involving tobacco and alcohol cases, the question's been raised, is that their best use of resources? You know, and those essentially are tax cases, are individuals paying taxes on tobacco or alcohol and so forth. And it's been again, sort of an odd combination of alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and then you threw explosives in there later. Again, sort of an odd pairing that you would have those things together. And I think, I think Hank raises an interesting point in that, do these really all go together? And what's interesting is that there isn't, in Representative Sensenbrenner's, argument, he's just saying, you know, basically these things can be broken up in different places as well. But that the heartland of this thing is whether you need another federal law enforcement agency to essentially act as a, you know, as a quasi-federal police department. And but, you know, you do raise these up. Well, you could always go off and do tobacco or do alcohol. Well, you know, or are those really things that are best in a Treasury Department where taxes and so forth be assessed at that point and have the investigative power of that agency be able to look at those tax cases and so forth. Again, sort of, and the report talks about this, sort of a Frankenstein nature of this organization that it's really been, you know, all these different parts sort of ad hoc have been added on over the years, and it's just led to sort of this curious agency that just has a lot of different pieces in a lot of different ways that don't necessarily connect to each other.
Now, the ATF over the years has gotten a lot of criticism from the Branch Davidian standoff near Waco, Texas, so their involvement in a standoff in Ruby Ridge, all the way up through, as you mentioned, Fast and Furious and this new backfire operation, efforts to close it over the decades. Is there any indication that this is getting traction this time around, that it might actually go somewhere this time, John?
Well, it's an interesting point. The old sort of saying is that, you know, bureaucracy doesn't go away. Though you have a Republican Congress. Now you need just more than a majority. You need more than that. But you have a Democratic White House, and this organization, you have a second term president who can do some things and not worry about reelection. The center has some close links into the Obama White House, and there was a report by a gun rights and conservative blogger a few years ago about a white paper that was produced. Now, this white paper has never been released publicly, but that it was floated by the White House that suggested this possibility. This was in the midst of Fast and Furious. This document's never been released, but what this raised was that this possibility of a more broad coalition around this concept, for various reasons, may be taking hold. The last individual before Representative Sensenbrenner to propose abolishing the ATF was Representative Conyers, from a Democrat from Michigan. Now, he proposed that after the Branch Davidian Waco incident, and that was out of real frustration at the time. Now, there was a lot of it essentially never went anywhere, but there was a sense that now, again, there could be more traction. Jason Chaffetz, Representative Chaffetz, who's head of the Oversight Committee, a Republican from Utah, has voiced initial support. Senator Durbin from Illinois floated this idea. So you're seeing on both sides. What will be interesting to see is ultimately the interest groups, and particularly the NRA, if they would change on this.
John, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Okay, thank you.
That was Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter John Diedrich. He joined us to talk about a new report out today calling for the elimination of the United States Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives.